I'll try to follow that up. I don't know if I can. Nehemiah chapter 1. I was joking with Amy before she got up and to sing, and I said, hey, just to let you know, the last time you sang in front of a church with a special was the only time I ever felt like running around the bases. If you know what that means, you know, just running around the church. And I said, hey, I am not responsible for what happens when you get up here to sing. I wasn't planning on running because these shoes are kind of slick and I didn't want to fall off and hurt myself. So go ahead and turn it to Nehemiah chapter number 1. We took a little break from Nehemiah. We preached a couple sermons from Nehemiah. And then we took a little bit of a break. Can you turn me down just a little bit? So we took a break a little bit. We preached out of Nahum, you know, that the Lord is good. But I feel like now is the time to come back to Nahum. You know, Pastor preached this morning, and he challenged us, right? He gave us a challenge on being kind one to another. Well, you know what the easiest way for us to be kind one to another is? To pray for them. You know, is to pray for them. And so we're gonna kind of continue the challenge, both here with this sermon, and we're going to maybe make this a small series about prayer, right? We're going to talk about prayer. You know, prayer is a very important part of the Christian life. If you look, if you go down any, you know, spiritual aisle on the bookshelf, there's tons of books on prayer, you know, and other things, but mostly just prayer. You know, Spurgeon was asked once, and what he wrote, he says, when asked, what is more important, prayer or reading the Bible? He then asks, what is more important, breathing in or breathing out? Right? Like we think sometimes that one is more important than the other, right? Like, hey, bless God, I read my Bible. Well, how much do you pray? Oh, I'm supposed to pray too? I got this, right? And so just like what Spurgeon says, right? One is breathing in, the other one is breathing out. You know, Ian Bounds, if you're familiar with Ian Bounds, he wrote a large book, like many books on prayer. He wrote many books on prayer, and this is what he says, and this kind of gears towards us as preachers, but it says, preaching never edifies a prayerless soul. You know, a lot of times what preaching does, what we do up here is, you know, we give you the Word of God and what the Word of God says, but it will go nowhere without prayer. Right? It hits that stony ground, just like the seed that Jesus talks about. It hits that stony ground and it doesn't go anywhere, right? Some things come up and pick it up and fly away. You know, there's a reason why I believe many pastors, and this is it, me included, preach on prayer sparingly, right? Because it's something that we as Christians can always stand to improve on. And so we don't want to get up here as preachers and start preaching about it because we realize, well, you know, my prayer life might not be the best. But here we are, and we're going to preach on prayer. So let's go to Nehemiah chapter number 1. We're going to start in verse number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 1, verse number 4. It says, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned before thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now, these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for the ability to open up your word and to study out of it. Lord, we have so much to thank you for. And one of those things is the word of God that we can come to and study out of. So Lord, as we learn about prayer and where our focus and our prayer should be, Lord, we pray that you just be with us. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, let your spirit move amongst this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We said this before when we did our little introduction on the book of Nehemiah, right? Nehemiah is commonly known for building a wall, right? That if you were to ask the average Christian, hey, what's the book of Nehemiah about? They will say, well, it's about him building the wall. And that's absolutely correct. But I think Nehemiah is also a book about prayer. If just counting, just doing a study of the book of Nehemiah, at last I counted was about 9 prayers. Right, 9 times, which comes to about maybe it's a little less than 1 per chapter, but 9 prayers in the book of Nehemiah. Some are really short. We'll look at one in chapter 2 at another time, right, where he just prays and then he gets an answer. Some are really long, as in chapter number 9. It's pretty much the whole chapter is his prayer. And so what we're going to see is that Nehemiah is a praying man. Nehemiah gets confronted with different things, and his first response to that is to pray. I want to ask us, how many times are we confronted with things and our first response is to pray? I can tell you right now, my first response is sometimes not to pray. I made the joke to somebody, I forget who it was, but you know, you always know when I'm praying in my car because I'm going the speed limit. Right? Because you get a little convicted when you're trying to, right? But those are some things, right? And then God sends that, you know, that slow person in the left lane? God sends that slow person in the left lane. And instead of me praying, you know, I respond a different way. But Nehemiah's response was to pray. You know, we talked about this report that he was given in verse number 3 about the walls are broken down and the people under great reproach and under great derision. And his first response was to pray about them, not just to pray, right? Because a lot of times what we say is, hey, brother, I hear what's going on, and I'm going to pray for you. This is different. And the reason why I know this, this is kind of getting off a little bit, but that's fine. But the reason I know this is because he uses a word. He says, I beseech thee, right? He means it, right? Here's a report that stops him in the track, and he says, God, hear my prayer. I beseech you, Lord. He says it 3 times in this prayer. He means business. So let's see what we can see in Nehemiah's prayer and maybe gain some insight about where our focus should be when we pray. The first thing I see in Nehemiah's prayer is in verse number 5. It says, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. You know, the first thing I see about Nehemiah's prayer is he starts praising God. You know, he has a little bit of praise in there. Hey, God, you are great and terrible. That doesn't mean you're terrible like no good, very bad. That just means you inspire terror, right? And he should. He created everything. You know, we should fear God. But he begins with praise. You know, I have this in my note. He reminds, quote unquote, who God is, right? He says, hey, God, remember you're great and terrible. Not only that, but you remember. You know, you keep covenants and mercy for them. Remember that? You know, I heard a preacher say this once, and it kind of really threw me. But he says, you know, we shouldn't do that, right? Because he says, you know, you're just buttering up God. You know, you're just buttering up. You're just sucking up to him. Well, you know what? God deserves a little bit of sucking up too, if you don't ask me, right? That he deserves a little praise. Like Pastor read the verse in Luke 8, which I've never thought about before, right? He is kind to the unthankful. You know, there's a lot of people who are praying to him tonight that are very unthankful about what they have. And they don't start their prayers with praise. You know, there's a lot of people in here that don't start their prayer with praise. I sometimes don't. Right? I just want to go right to my petition, right? Right to my request. Hey, God, sorry, I don't have enough time to praise you. You know, when we pray, we should come before God with praise and thanksgiving. You know, they just sang about for all he's done. You know, how he has done so much that we, you know, to be honest, we should pray so long that we don't have time to get our, praise Him for so long that we don't have time to get to our petition. And then we could just keep going and going. You know, in Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, we are to enter into His courts with praise, right? We are supposed to enter in with praise and thanksgiving. What's praise? Praise is to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works, to express gratitude for personal favors. If that doesn't define what God has done for us and what we need to do because God has done that for us, I don't know what does. Right? For His perfection, for the things that He's done for us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15. You know, we need to start our prayers with praise. And what that does is it helps focus our attention, right? Because we're talking about focused prayers. It helps focus our attention on the God of who we're praying to. You know, a lot of times what happens is when we don't start with praise, we kind of forget who we're praying to. Who are coming to and pray. You know, Nehemiah says, hey, I am praying before the God of heaven. You know, in chapter number 2, he says, I am praying to the God of heaven. Do you realize that God of heaven created everybody who's sitting here? You know, that God of heaven sent His Son to die for us. You know, that's something to be praised. But sometimes we take, it's not here, it's in Hebrews 4, right, where it says we're supposed to come boldly before His throne. And you know, some of us, you know what some of us think that means? That we just kick down the door and say, you know what, Lord, this is what I need. That's not what that's saying. We can come boldly. We can, you know, we don't have to worry about Him, you know, extending that golden scepter because it's already extended to us. We can come to Him and say, hey, Lord, I need right now some grace and mercy. I need some faith. I need this right now. That doesn't mean we just kick down the doors and go and stand irreverently in front of Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, because the question always comes up, right? And I've had times when I've prayed like this. What happens if I don't feel like giving Him praise? I understand we're all super spiritual here, right? I always feel like giving God praise. Bless God. There are some times where we don't. I'm the first one to admit it. There are times when I don't feel. We got a text today, and it was real hard. You know, so my dad's in an assisted living facility. If you know anything about assisted living facilities, diseases spread like wildfire through there. Well, a resident, tested positive for COVID. And so when I got that text, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, before I get too far off. Hebrews chapter 11, right? Because we have to praise Him for everything because He is in control. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 12. I saw this today in studying this. I never really noticed this, right? We've always focused on verse 15, but I want to focus on some of the other verses because it really is important. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 12. It says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Right? So it's talking about Jesus suffering. And then it says in verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Do you realize that if you're saved here today, we are called to bear His reproach? You know, and there are times when we do that, when we walk the Christian life, that we're not going to feel like saying, hey, you know what, God, thank you for that. I appreciate that struggle. I appreciate that test. I appreciate that trial. Verse number 14, it says, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, right, by Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And then it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. It should be our goal as Christians to please God. And you know what it says pleases God? to be kind, to do good, to be kind to each other. But it also says to sacrifice of praise, giving Him thanks in times where we're struggling, in times where it doesn't seem possible. But you know what? There's something in each one of us, there's someone in each one of us that gives us the strength to do it. That gives us the strength to say, thank you, Lord. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what's going to happen because I can't see it, but you know what? You can. Thank you. Let's go to Psalm 146. We're not going to read them all, but we're going to read parts of it. We're going to read the last five Psalms, right? Because the last five Psalms start with what we're talking about. And what we're going to see is there's some things, you know, whether we can say thank you, God, for the situation we're in, there are always things that we can say thank you for. And that's how Nehemiah starts his prayer. He says, you know what, Lord, you're great and terrible. You know, you keep covenant, right? You remember us. In Psalm 146, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, amen, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know what we can thank God for? We can thank God for his help. Right? We can thank God that he is always there. That we don't have to put our... I understand what's going on in the world today. And you know why everybody's scared? It's because they're putting their trust in the wrong thing. You know, there's a lot of Christians who are really scared about what's going on. And that's because they forgot that God will never fail. That God is always there. It says here, man is going to die. Man is going to go back where he came from, and that is the dust. But you know who's not going to do that? God. If we put our trust in Him, we can say, you know what? Thank you, God, that you're still there, that you're in control. No matter what I'm going through down here, thank you, God. Psalm 147, verse number 1. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know, there's a lot of people who are suffering heartbreak right now, especially near the holidays, right? The closer we get to the holidays, the worse it gets. You know who heals broken hearts? You know who's in the business of healing broken hearts? You know who's in the healing of, or in the business of healing wounded spirits? And I'm not talking, or healing wounds. I'm not talking about necessarily physical wounds because he does that. You know, praise the Lord for the prayers for Miss June and everything God did. But you know what? Sometimes when we use words that aren't very kind, they can wound. You know who's in the business of healing those wounds? God is. Somebody who never fails. Somebody who never goes away. Somebody who's always there. And he cares for us. Psalm 148, verse number 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Just for the sake of time, let's go ahead and let's skip down to verse number 5. It says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. In the previous verses, it talks about the heavens and the earth. And all the sun and the stars and all that other stuff. Verse number 6, he hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. We have enough to praise the Lord because he created us. He put us on this earth for a reason. He put us on this earth with breath. Every morning we wake up, we have something to thank God for. We can thank him for the breath we breathe, for another day to worship him. And then lastly, Psalm 150. Really, we can, you know what we can praise the Lord for? Because we can praise the Lord, right? Because he's worthy of our praise. That's something for us to praise him about. You know, in Psalm 150, verse number 6, it says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." You know, there's something that we're supposed to do. Pastor used this in his sermon. You know, we're obligated to show kindness one to another. You know what we're also obligated to do? Praise ye the Lord. How many people in here have breath? I mean, mine's a little bit shorter, right, because I'm up here speaking, but I still have it. And, you know, when the singers up here, they might have been a little bit nervous, and, you know, theirs was a little short too. But they still have it. And you know what we're supposed to do? Praise ye the Lord. You know, when we go down to pray, we should always have a mind of praise inside. Right? Because what that does is it focuses our attention on the God who we're praying to and what he has done for us. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter number 1. Nehemiah chapter number 1. And we see another thing that Nehemiah prays for. And I think, I believe this is the order with which we should pray. Right? We should start with praise. God, you are great. You know, God, you are good. Thank you for all you've given to me. Right? Just there's a variety of different things, variety of different ways that can look. You know what praise sometimes is in prayer? Just us either coming down to the altar or getting on our knees and just crying to him. We don't have to say any words. We just have to trust him enough to go to him with our issues. That's praise enough. You know, that's praise enough to him. In Nehemiah chapter number 1, verse 6, it says, "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses." So, the first thing we see with Nehemiah's prayer is praise, right? He praises God. Then what we see is he asks for a pardon, right? He asks for a pardon, right? He's seeking that, "Hey, God, guess what? We sinned." Now, what Nehemiah does, and I have this in red and bolded because it says, notice, what Nehemiah does is he says, you know, well, my father's house has sinned, right? All those other people have sinned. But you know who he includes with those other people? Himself. He even starts it, he doesn't say my father's house and I. He says, I and my father's house. You know, when we focus, and this really just builds on each other, when we start our prayer with praise, we focus on God. You realize when you get your right focus on God, you start to see yourself for who you truly are in Him, in light of Him. You know, Nehemiah realized he's part of that group that sinned. Ooh, I sin too. And Lord, I know if you're going to hear me, I need to confess that sin. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Keep your hand in Nehemiah 11, because we'll go back there one more time. Luke chapter number 18. Verse number 11. You know, we see a prayer, right? And a lot of times what we do is we think, you know, when we pray, instead of confessing, we start to brag. "Hey, God, guess what I've done?" Right? Hey, you know, or it might not necessarily be like that. We see an example in Luke chapter number 18, verse number 11. Our eyes start to wander on other people. Instead of focusing on who God is, we start focusing around. And we get this Pharisee. In verse number 10, it says, "And two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And then we compare that to verse number 13. It says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." One of those two men had a correct view in their prayer. I say this to say, because I understand that, and I've heard preachers preach this and say this, and you know, you do see it, right? That I'm not like that publican, or like that Pharisee. I'm not like that Pharisee. But yet we'll come down to the altar and we'll say, you know what, Lord, praise the God I'm not like them. Praise God I'm not like them. Praise God I don't do what they do. Oh, hey, have you heard about so-and-so? Praise God I don't do that. You know what you are? You're a Pharisee. You do not have the correct view of who you are in light of God. Because guess what? I'm sure they could look at you and say, well, hey, thank God I'm not like Pastor Bishop. Get out of here. You are, right? One flesh. Right? I mean, that's the thing, is that sometimes we get our eyes off of who God is. And so what we need to do is we need to focus in our prayers in the light of God, right? And so we start to praise Him. We start to look and see who He is. And then what happens is that humbles us. You know, C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You know, we think of ourselves a lot. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in the latter days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, or of their own selves. It's going to happen. The way to prevent that from happening, the way for us to prevent that pride from happening, is to get a true picture of who we are in the light of God. You know, the majority of the Old Testaments, if you look, I love this. If you look at the Old Testament's prophets and their callings, a lot of them always come up with excuses. See, I feel good about that because I came up with excuses when God called me. God, do you know who I am? Asking God, do you know who I am? Well, of course He knows who you are. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, you know, it says, in the day that Uzziah died, I saw God high and lifted up. And then He says, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. Right? Isaiah saw himself in the eyes of God. Jeremiah says, hey, I am just a child. You know, God even says, hey, when you were in the womb, I called you. And then Jeremiah says, yeah, God, but about that, I'm still a child. But you know what God says? God says, hey, if I am with you, you don't need to worry about anything else. You know, the prayer of Nehemiah, I mean, we'll look again later at what Nehemiah went through with the trouble that he had with the people around him. The only way that he can get through that trouble is with God. Right? When Sanballat and Tobiah and them just come and insult him and insult his work, and you know, he's scared for his life that they might attack and kill him. He had God. And when he prayed to that God. And he knew who that God was. And so he praised God. He sought a pardon. Let's read verse number 8. It says, remember, I beseech thee, back in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8, it says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. It says, now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and thy strong hand. You know, so he praises. He starts with praise. Even there's a little bit more praise right there, right? So he starts with praise. He seeks a pardon. But then he makes his petition. And the way he makes his petition is very important. He prays the promises of God. He goes to Scripture. He was well enough versed in Scripture to know what God said about His people that were going to be scattered and Him bringing them back, to where he can go to God and say, "Hey, God, remember." Obviously, God remembers. But Nehemiah goes to God and says, "Hey, God, remember this word that you gave to us. These are the people you are talking about. We have humbled ourselves. We have prayed. We have confessed. We have sought your face. Now protect us, please." You know, many times, like I said, I think this is the order with which we should pray, right? We should start with praise, and then we should move to, you know, seek a pardon, right? Confess some of the sins that we've done, and then we can go into petitioning God for some of the things that we want. But unfortunately, today, we've kind of switched the order. That we start with a petition, and if we have enough time, we'll confess our sins. And then if we have enough time after that, because, you know, time is short, then we'll praise God. You know what that turns God into? A vending machine. God is not a vending machine, just to let you know. Yes, He loves us enough and He is kind to us that He will give those things to the unthankful and the evil, right? That's what it says in Luke, right? That He will give us those things. He is merciful and gracious in that way. But if we consistently come to Him like that, you know what's going to happen? The well's going to dry up. And we're going to wonder why. Why, God? Why did you stop blessing me? What's going on? You know, praying the Word of God helps guide our prayers and our focus off of ourselves and onto the will of God. Let's go to James, James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. You don't have to keep your hand in Nehemiah. James chapter number 4. We're all familiar with this passage of Scripture, but I'm going to give you an easy way to make sure that we don't pray to fulfill our own lusts, our fleshly lusts, the things that our flesh wants. James chapter number 4, verse number 1. James chapter number 4, verse number 1. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Right? And again, the lust there is the same thing that's causing that division in verse number 1. Right? Your lusts are the issue. You know how we can pray so that we don't ask amiss to fulfill it on our own lusts? To pray the will of God from the Word of God. Let's go to Luke 17. We're going to flip a few places here, so get those fingers ready. Chapter number 17. And we're going to look at an example of this. An example that we've been talking about often. You know, Luke chapter number 17, you know, the example is, well, we have to forgive somebody, right? I mean, obviously, if we were to just, you know, I heard a pastor tell this story, and I thought it was great because, you know, again, I realize that this is probably my line of thought would have been, but he says, you know, we're supposed to pray for those that despitefully use you, correct? Pray for our enemies. Now, what if somebody does something to you, and you go down to pray for them, and God says, you know what, tomorrow, I really wish you wouldn't have prayed for them, because tomorrow I was going to break their arm. How many of us would say, well, you know what, God, can you just kind of hold off on that prayer for a day, right? And then I'll pray for them after, right? No, that's not right. Right? We pray for them right after they do something, right? That's when it happens. We're supposed to forgive them. In Luke chapter number 17, verse number 3, we get a story. Now start in verse number 1. We'll start in verse number 1 to set the context, right? Because we see some stuff happening. Offenses are going to come, In Luke 17, verse number 1, it says, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto them, woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Verse number 3 says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's a commandment. Thou shalt forgive him. So then what's the prayer? And this is a great prayer to pray in these situations. Verse number 5, it says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Hey, what a great prayer from Scripture. Hey, Lord, I am dealing with this person who is causing me all sorts of trouble, and according to your word, I know I'm not supposed to take vengeance for myself, right? Because vengeance is yours. But you know what, Lord? Can you please increase my faith? Can you please let me trust in you? You know, there's a lot of verses through the Bible that are like this. There's a lot of verses that point to God's faithfulness, that point to God's truth, that point just to God. And when we pray the promises of Scripture, we point ourselves to God. The last place we'll turn to is Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. We talk about walking in the Spirit, right? And living that spiritual life. And in Colossians chapter 3, it tells us one of the ways that we can become more spiritual, can have a better spiritual walk. In Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 15, and this is what we all search for. Right? This is something that everybody searches for in Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace. How many people say, hey, I could use some more peace? Right? Amen. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Right? It's funny that all these things tend to show up together. But then in verse 16 it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of God, or let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what one way is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Pray the promises of God. You know, go to the Scripture when you pray. You know, on Tuesday mornings we have the men's prayer group, and I was just studying Nahum. Nahum, chapter 1, you know, about the Lord is good, and He's our stronghold, and He knows our name. You know what I did? I prayed that. Not saying, hey, look at me. Right? Because it's good. The Lord is good. The Lord is my stronghold, and the Lord does know my name. You know, that's something to tell Him about. Hey, Lord, I already know you know this, but I'm thankful for it. That's letting the Word of God dwell in you richly, right? That we're praying, we're in the Scripture so much that it just comes out. And you know what that's going to do to our focus? It's going to take it off of us and put it on others. It's going to take it off of us, it's going to put it on God. So that our prayers will change. I'll tell you this right now. If you start your prayers with praise and you make it a continual habit, and then you go into confession and for a pardon, and then you start praying for your petition, but you pray the Scriptures, you know what's going to happen? Your prayers are going to change. They're going to be more godly because they're going to be geared towards Him as opposed to just what I want. You know, prayer focuses our mind and life on what is important. And that's God and what God has said. He deserves our praise. You know, Corrie ten Boom, if you know anything about Corrie ten Boom, you know she had a rough life, right? Going into the concentration camps and doing all that. You know, she says, any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. That isn't saying that, you know, God doesn't care about the little things, because he does. And he wants you to pray about it. But what she's saying is, if you can't even pray about something, why are you worrying about it? Why are you worrying about it? God is big enough to take care of everything. Think about this, and this is what we'll finish with. Think about this. God is good. Right? God is good. All the time, God is good. He is a stronghold to those who believe and who will run into him. And he knows our name if you're saved. Because of all that, why not focus on him in our prayer lives? Let's go ahead and stand. Let's go ahead and stand. We're not going to ask it this way, because everybody, you know, how's your prayer life? And then everybody answers, well, it could be better. Mine included, from the front to the back. So how about we focus on God when we pray? No matter how much time we take in prayer, focus on him. Give him praise. Give him praise. Let's go and pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for all you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and pray to you. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we pray that everybody here can just talk to you and can give you some praise. Lord, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, the altar is open if you need it.